Thursday Night Football with John Giles.
Johnny Giles is a national treasure. When he speaks, I mean, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. When he's on the show, I was in the car the other day. I parked the car and I sprinted into the house and turned on the radio. I love listening to him. I love Johnny Giles.
John Giles, every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. on OTB Sports Radio, live 24/7 on the Go Loud app. The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Okay, big day for the FAI with their council meeting later on. And we've got FAI Deputy Interim CEO Niall Quinn with us. Niall, you're very welcome. I know you don't have much time this morning, so we'll get straight into it. There's just a couple of things we want to touch on this morning. We want to get some clarity on the Memorandum of Understanding, which is obviously key to the bailout. You've spoken about this at length before. It's been spoken about all weekend for the last few months. And the big issue seems to have been the 6-6 issue that's been discussed. That's not budging at the moment. But one of the things that's come up this week is about the 10-year term limits, Niall, and this is where we want to start, about not allowing council members who've been there for longer than 10 years to stay on the council. Is it true that this is budging? Because it had been mentioned earlier in the week that it has the potential to at least be altered in some shape or form.
Yeah, I think if you bring yourself back to when the MOU was agreed at the end of January, it was signed off and it then had to be presented to the constituents out there, the footballing family. Yes, there's a council meeting today and there's 78 council members, but there's 202 members of our constituents throughout the land who represent football in this country, and ultimately they will decide whether they're happy with the way it has all panned out and how it's been drawn up and accepted by Roy Barrett in the first instance and the board then. And that's the kind of game that's in play. And just to kind of go to, you know, your point where we're at right now, on the parts of it that are causing friction and concern, I think FIFA and UEFA, since March, have been very good in administering best practice and how they would look at how boards and committees, etc., are formed. And following that guideline, there is an interpretation that could be said that FIFA and UEFA said you don't want to lose good people either. So, you know, if conflicts aren't there, if good skill sets are there, that there may be a case for people who have stayed the term as per the MOU that it could be looked at. That's just an interpretation, and it's something worth talking about. But there are other things as well. You know, the 6-6 with the casting vote at this present time going to the independent chairman, that can change in 3.5 weeks' time if the constituents, the 202 people who ultimately will decide whether the MOU is accepted or not, if they are happy to revert that power of control back to the president, which effectively would be, as they call themselves, the football people. So I'm trying very hard to get a narrative out there that it should be 6-6, not 6-6. Nobody wants to take that sovereignty away. And if, you know, if the electorate want to put the president in there for the casting vote, then I think it would make a big difference. You know, to the individuals who feel hard done by having to leave, there may be scope there. I think this is about football coming together, showing some unity. First of all, enough confidence to be gleaned from government that they will, you know, actually partake in this very necessary 62 million input that, you know, needs to be voted on. Like, we need to reconcentrate ourselves and the sort of individual agendas that have been driven, the sort of narratives that have been in and around the place for the last few months, it all has to stop now. Yeah. We all have to come together. And there is a way of going forward if people just stop looking at their own self-interest, all of us, get to the point of unity.
Just to go back on that then, basically the Memorandum of Understanding is malleable, Niall. If you're saying that these things are open to interpretation, the government doesn't see it that way, is what we understand. That they don't see this Memorandum of Understanding as malleable whatsoever. The idea that you can be flexible around 10-year term limits, like, have you cleared that with the government?
Yeah, so I think it's there for debate. The most important people to speak to in understanding how this works out at this point right now is the constituents out there who ultimately will decide whether we take this 62 million injection or not. And I think understanding from them over the last number of months of their concerns, and, you know, as an executive voicing, bring those concerns, I suppose, you know, into conversations with departments, board. It's not my field, I have to admit, in this interview, but I am obviously privy to what's going on, being in the position I'm at. And by the hard line that existed, you know, when the full extent of the problems of the last regime came out, just before Christmas, if you remember, nobody had any idea that the extent of the financial mess that we were in. I think what's happened in the meantime, the department have seen an attempt by the executive and the board to implement reform, governance reform, financial reform, and now electoral reform is the next piece on that. And I think anybody in a smart position or trying to get into the smart position here would say, okay, as a group, we really need to take this money in. We really need to you know, think about grassroots, think about what football means in this country, think about coaches, players, volunteers, parents, and indeed the 200 full-time staff in Abbottstown, you know, whose roles are at stake, should, you know, this sort of narrative get tangled up and we end up losing the ability to not just save the FAI, but to flourish in the future. And that's why the danger of the narrative going the way it's gone, the unprecedented sort of things that have happened, you know, particularly, you know, board members themselves coming out and having as though the executive during the week publicly. I hope it's the end of the firing and that we can put heads together now and actually seek a solution that works for everybody. And I think if, just to go back to your point on it, if there are tweaks that work in terms of what would work for all parties, and we should be looked at. Life is always about talking, trying to get things through, not taking a stance and making accusations and having a tarnished association as opposed to one that comes together.
Just on that, like, is it not important to perhaps get an assurance from the government before you go to your constituents that the government are saying, yes, this huge sum of money is still yours if you make tweaks? Because the danger, of course, is that the constituents don't go for it and they don't go for the MOU. That's one part of it. I accept that. But the other part is that if you make tweaks to the memorandum of understanding, that the government simply won't give you the money. So have you got guarantees that if you make tweaks that they will still give the money?
Yeah, I think the interpretation and also the assistance of UEFA and FIFA since March in terms of determining what is acceptable to them, because they play a role here too. They took part, UEFA in particular, took part in the MOU too. So sides that worked together at that point. And, you know, I think in terms of how change was accepted or not in the last few months and how, you know, the narrative became suddenly hostile and the likes of Gary Owens and myself found ourselves, and we knew it was kind of coming in one way, that people weren't going to be comfortable with change, but the hostility that has existed has thrown a lot of things and put a lot of things into doubt. You know, the fact that, I mean, it's kind of quite incredible today or yesterday that a politician would admit to have people on the board who are giving him information. I mean, there's so many things out there this has led to that surely the best way to do it is sit in and talk about it and make sure that people are comfortable with it. I understand that people think go on.
Just on that question in relation to the 10-year rule and how malleable, I suppose, that the MOU is in relation to the government. Like, from the outside looking in, it does look like a two fingers of the government if you're saying that this thing that we agreed on the basis of bringing in the 60 million plus is now malleable. And the indications that we have are that from the government's point of view, that's not the case.
It's based on interpretation. And I do think, you know, government wouldn't like us to lose really good skill sets on the basis that, you know, a discussion that would mean that there could be some shape or form that these people who have offered good things in the past and who have good skill sets and who are not conflicted that might be able to help in football in the future.
Does that mean that yourself and Gary Owens then are for having a situation where there's board members are allowed to serve for more than 10 years?
I would say my view on that is that we have to show unity and come together. And if there's a skill set there that can help the association going forward, that, you know, shunning it for the sake of drawing up a rule to remove people who didn't have those skill sets It can all be looked at. Remember, this is probably
Just on that then, you're saying yes. You're firmly saying that that is the case, we think, which goes against most best governance practice, that 10 years is seen actually...
Just to be clear, how that is interpreted is open to debate, and I would like that debate to happen so that people can calm down from where everybody is and show unity together. Yeah. If we keep going through this narrative that's out there, the us and them narrative, you know, the people are fed up. They are getting fed up out there. And there is so much at stake here that we have to come together. And if it means going to the Department of Sport and saying, look, out of these people who have to go here, some want to try and stay, here's their skill sets. Can we bring that in? What is wrong with that in asking the question and getting people, you know, to understand that this has all been done in the best interest of the game going forward? The people are fed up. They're fed up in the first instance. They're horrified by what went on in the past. In the last 6 months, as the executive came in, having an MOU there to be agreed at a later date with the EGM, trying to make sense of the association, trying to put it back on a good footing, we have done everything right that we can in this period of time, and now we find ourselves locked in a very public split ahead of one of the most crucial votes, I would say, of any sporting organisation ever in this country's history. So it's about finding a way to and discover, is unity possible? Can we get this vote through? And then can we, as an association, by that I mean all of the constituents, can we then make the game better and make decisions like giving the power of the casting vote back to the president? Nobody has issues with this if that's what the people want. And you know, I suppose let's be serious. There are 62 million very important reasons why this vote has to go through, and we owe it. We owe it to grassroots. We owe it to coaches. We owe it to volunteers, players, and we owe it to our full-time staff in Addison, the ones who have worked through this mess brilliantly, you know, despite being subdued. Mm-hmm. We owe it to them to find a way to get the game in this brilliant a shape as we can, and that starts with making sure we take this money.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the idea of asking the question around this 10-year rule is one thing, but it seems that the government have already given the answer to that question. Like Catherine Martin and her department have come out and said that they will not reopen for discussion any part of the memorandum of understanding agreed by the previous government. It seems that there won't be any move for any room for manoeuvre here at all, Niall.
Well, I think you'll find that how that is interpreted based on the advice and the input from UEFA and FIFA, that, you know, our constituents are absolutely entitled to ask the question, is that cast in stone, and have a good view on this as to whether this is the appropriate way to go forward or not. Because if you're losing good skill sets, you know, it's obviously something that you want to look at and see how best to accommodate them. There might be other ways of going forward. This is about, you see, there's been a lack of discussion here. People think that the 6v6, it's the, you know, that this hysteria that came out there, that the sovereignty is at stake. That's not the way at all. That's not the way the independents are thinking. That's not the way the executive thinking. Look, I think the bigger issue here, you know, the much bigger issue here, is that control of a 6-6 vote and a casting vote going back to the football directors, as they're called, that I think is an issue that, you know, should negate fears amongst the constituents out there who are worried about sovereignty.
You're in a tough position, Niall, because, like, you've outlined it yourself, that, you know, you almost have UEFA and FIFA on one side and then the Irish government on the other side, and both of them obviously are coming with pots of money to try and help save the FAI. It's an unenviable position in many ways. It sounds like, from everything you're saying, that and I know that the UEFA and FIFA have been out in the last, was it 24 hours, to say that one source was saying that they're concerned about the direction that this has taken, having previously given your backing.
I don't think that's true. We didn't get that from UEFA or FIFA. They're firmly 100% behind the process.
Okay. From the outside looking in, when you strip all this back, like it's very difficult for us to know exactly what's going on, who's right, who's wrong. You've already spoken about the split there. I know that you've mentioned about a narrative. Gary Owens earlier in the week was talking about a news cycle. There's clearly a lack of harmony, a lack of maybe common purpose is not quite right, but certainly a lack of unity that you're talking about. Is this entire FAI project now getting away from yourself and Gary Owens?
No, I think the vote on the 31st of August will determine how that project, as you call it, ends up, and how the future can be seen for football in this country. It's a hugely important time. And what I'm saying to you is that these narratives are deflecting from where the real concentration should be. This isn't about Gary Owens and Niall Quinn's project. This is about making sure that the association is saved, that there is good governance, financial reform, corporate governance, and other new procedures in place that give people confidence that the association can go forward. That's what this is about. And while there has been sticks and stones thrown, at the executive and at times at the independents, questioning a lot of stuff that's gone on, it's a very emotive subject. We get it, but can we suddenly stop and take one step backwards, get our heads all out of our own backsides, and look at the greater issue of what unity can bring to the 31st of August? And that's the point now. People are fed up now. All this narrative, agendas, flying, propaganda, call it what you want, over the last few months. Okay, I think we have to grow up. Football has to grow up now. All of us, all of the stakeholders, and do what's best for football and come to a conclusion that will see the game flourish in the future. Putting individual and self-interest in play before saving the association is wrong, and I wouldn't care less about my project if the right thing happens and we save the 200 jobs in Abbottstown and grassroots, etc., can go forward with belief and confidence, as would perhaps sponsors, etc., that this thing has been done right. It's time now for unity.
Well, let's address that self-interest that you mentioned there. Who in particular are acting in self-interest here? Is it the people, the eight signatories of the statement two nights ago that might be in danger of losing their own jobs were we to implement a memorandum of understanding? Is that who you're referring to here?
I think all sides have their own agenda here. Even Gary and I have our agenda to drive through what we believe is the correct day-to-day approach in terms of the pillars that needed to be brought into the association. There are some who are resisting that. Ultimately, I think we should be all working together to find a place of comfort. And until we get over that, and until we can say for sure that the association is going forward, it's going to be difficult. In the first instance, let's park the self-interest, let's park the worries and fears that people have, and let's do enough to make sure that the association is obviously financially sound, because it has it hasn't rejected the benefits that the MOU brings if they sign it off, the members, the 202 members, on the 31st of August. That's the near-term need right now, and that's all that we should be concentrating on. The blame game, giving out about other people and naming people, that does nothing. And particularly at this time, that the time for all that narrative is over. The time for the annoyance. We got to be strong. We got to be brave, and we got to find a way collectively that football, wins at the end of the day on the 31st of August.
Yeah, like you mentioned propaganda there. It was a fairly serious thing in that statement two nights ago that the board allegedly signed off on a memorandum of understanding before it was agreed back in January. Is that true?
Well, did you see the press releases that the board made the afternoon of the signing of the MOU and the president as well? You saw them press releases.
Yes, yeah.
So I think if you look at that, I think it answers the question.
Can I ask you one last one on the funding then? On the COVID payments, or not the COVID payments, but the COVID grant that's supposed to be handed out by Sport Ireland at some point this year, up to €40 million for the three main organisations, for the FAI, the IRFU and the GEA. Is your share of that in the FAI dependent on the MOU being agreed as well?
Yeah, we're led to believe that is accurate.
So that kind of inflates the stakes over
Correct.
The next little while as
Absolutely.
Well. How confident are you, Niall, of this MOU being accepted, passing through? It's a bit of a civil war underway.
Yeah, I think it just needs to all calm down, and people need to do what's best for it. How confident am I doing it? I do believe the members will do the right thing here and satisfy government, accept the MOU as it is, and work together then with whoever the executive is at that point going forward, whoever the elected board is and whoever the independent directors are. This is not hard when you break it down and step back from the emotion and the hysteria and the outside into the political plays that have been going on. It just doesn't read well. We're doing ourselves no favours. We feel that. We're having very strong conversations on potential sponsorships of an association that badly needs this. We need to return to the corporate world. Trust needs to be brought in. And every day we take part in this split, as we called it there and termed it, it's moving us away from that. So time to shake ourselves, come together and do what's best for Irish football.
Niall Quinn, thanks a million for taking the call.
Thank you.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.